All right, on Friday, I asked all of you on social media to let us know something that you need when you first get up in the morning. Now, some of the options were your coffee or tea, your morning beverage, a workout, maybe you just need to eat right away, or you just want to go back to sleep. Now, the two most common seem to be that morning beverage, either coffee or tea, or just to go right back to sleep, when they all make perfect sense. I am a coffee guy right when I get up in the morning. I am a beeline from the bed, out the bedroom door, to the electric kettle, to my French press, and I need my coffee. My wife, by contrast, Stacy, is the one that wants to go back to bed. Usually, she may not even roll over when I get up in the morning. She wants to sleep. I want my coffee. But the point is, we all have something, or at least many of us, that we feel like we need. We have to have this right away in the morning when we get up. We have a need. And I bring that up today because Jesus is going to address some daily needs that we have and how he is able to meet those. All right, so we are still in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Today will be a day we wrap up Matthew chapter 6. So then next week we will dive into Matthew chapter 7. That is the final chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. So we're kind of hitting the tail end of our series here. So today what Jesus does is he teaches on daily needs and how we really don't need to worry or stress about them too much because they are met by God's provision. So he teaches people not to worry or really fret is the word I think. My grandma used to say, Jeffrey, don't fret about that. No, don't fret. You know, get yourself all worked up or overly stressed or overly worried about a daily need to the point that, you know, we take our focus off God or we lose faith in God and have to put it all on ourselves. And Jesus talks about food and clothing today in his context with these two, which makes sense because these are two of the big needs people in his day would have had. He recently, in this context of the Sermon on the Mount, taught about the Lord's Prayer, in which it even says, give us this day our daily bread, meaning our daily food, our daily sustenance. So this is a normal need people had. We still have this need, but Jesus teaches on that. But what he really wants to get across is that God will provide for it, that our need is really God first. So the point I think we should take away is that we need to have a daily need for God and let God meet our daily needs. So have a daily need for God, let God meet those daily needs. So what we're going to do, we're going to start by reading the passage. We're going to see what Jesus teaches on. And then we're going to look at, he gives two illustrations as to kind of the why we don't need to worry or stress about these daily needs. And then he gives a little more teaching on it. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 is the whole passage. I'll be in the NIV translation. I'm going to read the whole thing just to start us off. And then we'll go back, break it down, and see what Jesus is really talking about. So Matthew 6, starting with verse 25, it says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's where we'll stop. So his teaching really opens with that first verse, with verse 25, where he says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, your drink, or your body, what you will wear. Life is more than that. All right, so here's the teaching. Don't fret, don't obsess, don't get all crazy over what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear, because life is bigger than that. Don't let your faith be affected by that. Now, what I want to point out with this really quickly is to remember who Jesus is talking to, and that's his followers. He's just having a normal teaching time. with them. So there's not like a big famine. There's not a food shortage, because some people might say, well, how do you not worry about it if that's going on? I believe Jesus would have a different teaching for that, or something different to say in that context. But he's doing right now is just talking to his followers, his disciples, who by no means were wealthy, but had enough each day generally. So that's kind of who they were in the context of what he is talking about. So they had their daily sustenance, by no means were wealthy, maybe would have been close to what would be considered a poverty line, but they weren't in the midst of any sort of shortage or anything like that. All right, so that's the teaching. Jesus is saying, don't worry about the food, don't stress about your clothes, any of that. No, why? He gives two illustrations. The first one comes in verses 26 and 27. That has to do with food, and he does that by talking about how birds find food, and I found that fascinating. And I thought to give us maybe a little better way to think about this and understand what this might mean, I decided to chat with one of my favorite animal experts and have him lay out how birds maybe find their food. So check out this quick little conversation. I'll be right back. Hey everybody, we are here with bird expert Jeremiah in his favorite bird lookout here on top of his swing set, and we're gonna ask him to tell us about how birds find their food. So Jeremiah, how do most birds find their food?
Most of them have to go out into nature. Like ospreys go out into the ocean to find fish. Eagles go out into the skies to find other birds. Pigeons eat a lot of the stuff so they can get milk. And others, some actually, did you know that blue jays will actually bring bugs and caterpillars?
So they have to go find their food. Does it ever just drop magically into their beaks?
Well, sometimes bald eagles will steal fish from ospreys, or sometimes they might just drop the food and it will land in a bird's nest sometimes. And sometimes even hit a bald eagle will use its talons and then like pick at an ospreys. And then it will drop the fish, and then the eagle will swoop down and catch it.
So, a lot of different ways birds will find their food. The fact is, though, they have to work for it, but they'll always find it. All right, thanks, Jeremiah, for your help. Say bye,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, they actually don't always do a successful hunt. Bye.
All right, so as you heard from Jeremiah, there are a number of different ways that birds find food. And different birds find different types of food, yet they always do it. Now, he said at the end, they don't always have a successful hunt. That's true, but yet they're still getting fed, whether they hunt again or they find it elsewhere. Right? They find their food. And I think Jesus talks about this because he wants us to see a few things. First off, he says the birds don't sow or reap their own harvest. So the birds don't plant their own food, right? But they do find it. And it doesn't just appear. It's not just dropped out of the air into their beaks. And we mean this two ways. And the first is to think, well, they don't have to go through the work or the strain of planting and everything their own crops, but also they still have to do a little bit of work to find the food. So they can't just sit around expecting it to come to them, but they will, however, always find food. And Jesus employs here what's called a lesser to greater teaching tactic. And that is, he says, if God takes care of the birds in that way, who don't have to take care of any of their own fields and don't have to do much, and they're of a much less value than you, how much do you think God's going to take care of you? Now, this isn't a knock on the birds at all. God loves birds. But what Jesus is saying is he values you. He values you as people more than the birds. So if he provides daily for the birds, of course he's going to provide for you every day. All right? Now, similarly to the birds, we might have to do a little bit of work. Maybe we even have to work more than the birds for our food. So there is some work involved. There is some planning involved. But the food and the nourishment will always be there. Again, we have to cook it, go buy it from the store. But it will always be provided for us. And we don't have to stress about that. We don't have to stress about how fancy our food is. It might not always be the highest end goods that are out there. But we'll always have enough. We rely on God to have enough. And he says, you know, if you're stressing about it all this time, what are you getting out of that? You know, he says, can you add, you know, an hour to your life? Or in some of the other translations, it's actually a unit of measurement. Can you add any growth to yourself? And the answer is no. Getting all stressed out and worried about what you're going to eat do I have the best meal possible? Is it the fanciest looking food, or is it exactly what I'm thinking it's going to be? Jesus is saying your life is more than that. And that's in essence what he's getting at. It's more than that. It's bigger than that. So that's the food piece. Again, have to work maybe a little bit for the food. I have to prepare it. But God will provide that nourishment and that sustenance. Then he goes into verses 28 through 30, where he talks about the flowers of the field, right? And it's relating to clothes, right? So we're relating clothes and flowers here. So think about a wide open field of just green grass. Start there, okay? Now picture it filled with beautiful wildflowers, just all over the field. These beautiful wildflowers. They're bright, they're rich in color. They have these beautiful colors. That's the clothing of that field, right? So those beautiful flowers are the clothing of the field. The thing is, those flowers, the grass didn't do anything to make those flowers. The flowers didn't do anything to make their color. Jesus is saying God just provided that, right? They didn't make their own dyes of all these different flowers. God just created it and gave it to the grass to clothe them. And it's so beautiful that even Solomon, King Solomon, who was known as one of the most extravagant monarchs, didn't look that good. Didn't look as good as those fields would look with those beautiful flowers that God provided, right? And the grass, which can come quickly and go quickly, it comes up, it goes down. If we look outside right now, the green grass is starting to come back in, but we know that in the fall and the winter, especially here in the Midwest, grass goes away. It comes and goes. It can be ripped out and trampled on and beat up. If you're at my house, it gets dug up because they're looking for dinosaur fossils in the backyard. It doesn't matter, but it can go, and God still clothes that with beauty. God still gives something that temporary beauty. And it's another lesser to the greater here, because he says God's going to take care of that. Of course he's going to clothe you in what you need. All right? He will clothe and provide the clothing we need, because he cares for us even more than that. Now, I'll be honest, clothes are something I care about. Now, maybe some of you don't at all care about clothes. Maybe some of you care a ton about clothes. Maybe some of you are completely indifferent. I don't know. It can be all over the map. I do, right? I can think back on my life caring about clothes. Going back to when I was a kid and my parents wouldn't let me get that Chicago Bulls starter jacket. Didn't get the starter jacket like all the other kids had. I wanted it. And then as we got a little older, is the baggy clothes, right? Wearing clothes like three times the size of you was a thing. So I did that just like everybody else was doing. I wanted the baggier jeans with all the pockets and the baggy sweatshirts, whatever it was. I went to college. It was trucker hats were the thing. It was like when Ashton Kutcher and the TV show Punk'd was on, he was wearing the trucker hat. Those were huge. I worked at Abercrombie in college. I was an Abercrombie guy. It couldn't have been more of a trendy, fashionable kind of place to work there for those clothes. So clothes were important, right? You know, I was thinking, it matters what I wear. You know, life is a fashion show and the world is my runway, right? That was kind of the thing. And I still care. I care how I dress. But what Jesus is getting at is, don't stress about that, Jeff. Don't overthink it. That's not what's really important. Your life is more than what you wear. That's the lesson Jesus is teaching. We'll have something to wear. We'll be able to get all dressed up with somewhere to go if we need to. Because rather we're grabbing another hoodie, we're grabbing yoga pants, a different shade of gray t-shirt, or a bow tie, or a leather jacket, or whatever we're going to wear, our lives are more important than that. And the people that we encounter, it matters more how we treat them and what we say to them than how they feel about what we're wearing. And that can be a really hard thing to latch onto. But it's what matters. How we treat them, how we come into contact with people, how we act is so much more important than what we're wearing. And I kind of think that's the message we can take from Jesus here. There's nothing wrong with clothes. There's nothing wrong with dressing nicely. There's times when we have to be professional. There's times to be more casual. It varies, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think what Jesus is getting at is your body's more than that. Your life is more than that. Jesus talks about food and clothing. He's like, don't let that be all you focus on each day, because your lives are more than that. And God is going to provide for you. If he provides the food for the birds and the flowers for the grass, of course he will provide food and clothing for you. Pay attention to these things, but don't be the focus. Don't let it be the only thing you focus on. I read it one way that said, when it comes to these kind of these needs in this way, we can be carefree, but not careless, right? So don't be careless and not even think about it and be lazy, because we do need to work for them, but we can be carefree to the point where we don't have to get overly stressed out about it. I think that's the point here. We need to work and pay attention, but these things don't need to cause us stress. Jesus wants us to instead be focused on God and not have these things take away our faith or our focus on God. All right, so those are the two illustrations Jesus gives. Then what he does is he gets a little further here. In verses 31 and 32, he gives the teaching again. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You're saying, well, okay, Jesus said that like a few verses ago, right? Yeah, he did. This is a fairly popular form of teaching in Jesus' day, the repetition, right? The more we repeat things, the more maybe it latches on for us. But also it was used, I think, by Jesus to make his followers think more. If I keep saying the same thing to you over and over again, hoping that it penetrates a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. So you really examine yourself like, hey, am I focusing on the wrong things? Am I stressing about the things that maybe I don't need to stress about quite as much? And then Jesus uses another teaching technique here. He brings up the pagans and says the pagans would run after those things. Maybe the fancy food and the clothes. And the disciples know, followers of Jesus know, that's who they're not supposed to be, right? We have the pagans and then the disciples. They are different. These were not who they're supposed to be, all right? Jesus would have seen the pagans as people maybe that lived in the north of Nazareth, where they are. And it was known that it would have been an area where wine, women, song, theater, and opulence were a way of life. So maybe a slightly more modern way. There used to be a saying it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That might have been the way of saying that. Like, that's where the pagans go after. You know that's not for you as a disciple. All right, so the disciples know we're not supposed to be like that. That's the way we're not supposed to act. There are memes all over the internet now that are like, you know, be like Bill or be like Rick, don't be like Bill. These kind of memes, have you ever seen these? Maybe you have. Let me give you a few that might be out there. You get something that says, this is Bill. Bill is driving and finishes a sandwich he's eating. Bill throws his wrapper out the window. Bill doesn't respect the environment. Don't be like Bill. This is Rick. Rick has friends with lots of different views and opinions. Rick is still friends with them and treats them kindly, even though they don't always agree. Be like Rick. This is Bill. Bill thinks he's really smart and loves to tell people what to do. Bill never listens to anyone else, and Bill always tells people how right he is about everything. Don't be like Bill. Then we have Rick. Rick will never give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around, desert you. Rick will never make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Rick will never tell a lie or hurt you. Be like Rick. I really wish I could have done that in person for all of you. I know you would have enjoyed it. But be like Rick. Rick's not gonna hurt you. So now if Jesus were to do one of these, I can't for sure say this is how he would say it, but it might go something like this. This is a pagan. The pagan would consistently stress about having the best food, the best clothes, and a life to just impress. He would dress to impress others. Don't be like the pagan. This is a disciple. A disciple trusts God to provide, believes that God will give them what they need when they seek after him. Be like the disciple. All right. Be like the disciple. Don't be like the pagan. All right. The pagan strain after all this. Jesus is like, don't do that. You don't need to do that. Be like the disciple I called you to be. And that's what he finishes with in verses 33 and 34 when he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He tells us to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and that God will then provide. This is seeking God's will. If we're kind of going to bring kingdom and righteousness together, it would be seeking God's will through, you know, obedience and following him, pursuing God's will, putting your energy, putting that fretting, maybe some of that stress, into following God rather than into the daily things that God will provide. In essence, you're almost training yourself continually and pursuing God continually to live out his righteousness, to seek him, to just be with him. There may not be a straight up end, here's when I've made it, but it's just this constant lifelong pursuit, and there's so many great things along the way. I'm a guitar player. I have been for a long time, and I keep practicing. I keep playing. I keep trying to get better. I keep pursuing guitar playing, not as much now as I might like to or as much as I used to, but there's never an end to being a guitar player. I never master it. I'll never feel that way. So I keep going. I keep strumming. I keep working on fingerings. I keep changing the styles I play to learn more and to just continually get better. And along the way, I've gotten to do so many things with that. I've gotten to play music for people. I've gotten to lead worship. I've written songs for Stacy. I've gotten to do all this great stuff with it. But I just keep pursuing after playing guitar and letting everything else kind of fall into place with it. That's kind of, in a sense, what we're doing here by pursuing God and seeking his kingdom and righteousness first. We're just getting after God. We're training ourselves in the life of God. We're pursuing God. We're going after God daily. Now, there's not really an end time, I guess, until we go to heaven to be with God forever, that we would stop pursuing that in that same way. But he wants us to do it every day. He wants us to just keep coming after him, to get to know him, to pursue him. Because like he says, each day has enough trouble in it. Each day has enough trouble. We need God every day. So when we go after God each day, he can help us through the trouble every day. He can help us with the needs every day, and he'll provide those. He doesn't want us to stress about those because he just wants us to come and be with him every day. Because even though each day has enough trouble for itself, each day can bring its own trials. Each day also has enough grace for us. God provides enough grace every single day. So what God wants is our full desire, our full attention, and our full seeking attitude every day. He wants it today, and then he wants it tomorrow, and then he wants it again the next day. But God's also going to provide for us today and tomorrow and the next day. He will. He promises that. Because that's who God is with us, but he just wants us to not worry about the daily and just come to him. That's what God is asking us to do. So this week, as we kind of wrap it up here, I would encourage you to think about your day, your day-to-day life, and think about being carefree but not careless when it comes to those daily needs. What are you stressing about? What are you focusing on? Now, again, a little bit of stress is going to happen. You're going to think about it, and we should. We have to work about our daily needs, whether it's the food, clothing, or something else. We do. We have to think about that. But think about God first. All right? Go to meet with God first. All right? Make God your daily need first, because he will meet those daily needs when we do that. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for this teaching. God, and how it's so practical day to day that it talks about our daily needs, our food, our clothing, God, and whatever else we need each day. And God, we're so thankful that you meet those every day, that you provide for us every day, day in and day out, even when maybe we're not sure how it's going to come. And God, I pray that we would be people that wouldn't look to be too extravagant with food or clothing or anything that butts up against what we're really about, God, which is living for you and seeking you and representing you well. So God, I pray that you would put it on our hearts this week to make our need for you, to have that need we crave after and that we really want to go after to be you, and that our relationship with you is what we would pursue, and then that we would remember that you will meet those daily needs we have. We thank you so much for that again, Father. In your name, amen.